The following program is sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Welcome to Kingdom Connection. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know God has a word in store that I believe is going to lift you and encourage you and give you strength and bless you in remarkable ways. You know, the church is on a comeback. The body of Christ is on a comeback. And I believe today's message is going to proclaim in your life that God is able to bring you a comeback. Open your ears, open your mind. He's ready to speak. I want to talk to you today on the remedy to worry. The book of Esther is centered around King Ahasuerus, who is mean and he's a pagan and he is ungodly. There's nothing about him that seeks the Lord. He is what he is. And to show you how mean he is, when his wife, who was the queen, would not dance for the princes that the king had brought in and wined and dined them for 3 days. And in the conclusion, he wanted his queen to come out and do a vulgar dance, and she refused to do it. And the Bible said that he removed her from being queen. We don't know if he killed her or if he banished her, but she's never heard of again. He replaced her by having a beauty contest. And he has 120 provinces in Babylon. And he says, find the prettiest girl in every province and send her to a beauty contest in Babylon. And the one who's the most beautiful is the one that will be my new queen. And as God would have it, there is a little orphan girl by the name of Esther who is in one of those provinces. And she was beautiful. And she is nominated as one of the potential choices of the king. And out of all the beautiful girls, at some point, it wasn't about hips and lips and all of that. At some point, Esther wins the beauty contest, and she becomes his queen. But we almost make it like Esther is some huge, huge heroic figure in this story. She was terrified. She was terrified of this man. He was brutal. Life meant nothing to him. And she was so terrified, as we'll see later in this story, that she was afraid to even go into his presence without being invited. She was afraid he would take her life. So there was no joy in this marriage. There was no relationship romance and all of that. It was a brutal, evil man, and she's forced to marry him. Then we move into chapter 2, and there's only 6 chapters in the book, but we move into chapter 2, and amazingly, in chapter 2, Mordecai, her uncle, is the only relative. Her parents had been killed, and she's an orphan, but she does have one relative. Her uncle's name is Mordecai. And Mordecai is at the gate, and he is there by chance. There again, God is working and orchestrating, and he overhears a conversation of 2 of the bodyguards of the king. And they're talking about an assassination plot that they are part of, that they're going to be the ones who are going to take the king's life. And he can't believe what he's hearing. He goes to Esther, his niece, and he tells her there is an assassination attempt about to be made on the king, and you need to know it, and you need to warn. And apparently she was afraid to go to him personally. She tells somebody, we're not told who she tells. They spoil the assassination attempt. They kill the bodyguards. They root out all of the people who were conspiring and, of course, deal with them in the most brutal terms. But this person, whoever it was, took the credit and never told the king that it was Mordecai the Jew who had saved his life through Esther, his queen. And so it's an interesting moment when you understand that there's one other major character that I need to introduce, and his name is Haman. Haman is King Ahasuerus's prime minister. He's second in command. He's very powerful, listen carefully, and he's brutal, and he's just as mean as the king. Many scholars believe he was the one who got the news, protected the king, wiped out the conspiracy to kill the king, but he never told the king. He did it like, I am the one who saved your life, and therefore he built even more credibility with the king. And now, as he's riding through the city, this prime minister, he's not the king, he's one notch under the king, and he's riding through the city on his chariot. The king is very pleased with him, and all the people have been taught to bow down, but that old Jewish man named Mordecai will not bow. And it so bothered Haman that this powerful man would go back to his palace and he would go in and talk to his wife about it. The Bible said he actually made the comment, I would like to kill him with my bare hands. I can't stand that Jew, the Mordecai. I can't stand him and I want to kill him with my bare hands. All right, now we're going somewhere. Watch this. And sure enough, he decided one day, I'm going to exterminate all the Jews. I'm going to kill them. And he goes to the king and he gets permission from the king. Again, a brutal man. The king and now his prime minister. And the prime minister comes to the king and he says, you know, these Jews, they really helped us. We squeezed all of the wisdom, all of their inventions, their intellectual property, everything we've taken from them. We've learned everything we can learn from them. They're disposable to us. They're multiplying. They actually could be a threat, and I think we ought to kill them. And the king says, sounds reasonable to me. Kill them all. What are we going to have for lunch? That's literally how these guys, they're that cold and that brutal. And the decision is made almost afterthought, yeah, just exterminate. On a certain day, all of the Jews will absolutely be exterminated. And all that Haman is thinking about is, I can't wait to kill that one that I can't stand named Mordecai. And Mordecai hears the story. And when he hears the story, he goes to his niece in the palace, the queen, and he says, you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You have to go in there and you have to speak up and you have to. And she's trying to work up the courage. And finally, knowing that she said, fast for me. And everybody goes on a 3-day fast. And after 3 days, see this, she's a normal person. She's filled with worry. She's filled with anxiety. She's filled with, oh my God, this is horrible. And they're fasting and they're praying. And after 3 days, her courage is worked up enough. And she like a mouse, is kind of tiptoeing into the presence of the king. And when he sees her, he holds out the scepter and she comes in and he says, what do you want, Esther? And why have you approached me? And she didn't have the nerve. She didn't have the nerve to say it. So she speaks up and she says, I want you to come to a banquet tonight. I want you, and I think because Haman was on her mind, you and Haman come to a banquet. I think she was just buying herself time. She could have cut straight to the chase. She didn't have the courage to do it. She was just buying time. And she walks out of there and wipes her brow and says, oh my God, I thought he was going to kill me right then. She has this huge dinner prepared. And Haman and the king come, these brutal, mean, wicked men, and they're sitting there, and she's there, and she's trying to figure out how she's going to bring it up, and they eat, and she wines them, and they drink, and I'm sure they were full of the king's wine, and it was a big night, and it was an enjoyable night, and knowing Haman like he's presented in the scripture, he's like, I am so special. I was the only one invited. There are no other princes from the other 120 senators and provinces. None of them have been asked. Look at me. Look at me. I'm sure all over his Instagram were pictures of the, you know. And he's like, look, I want every, and the word was spreading all outside. My goodness, look at Haman. He's the only one that's eating with the king and queen. He's a big deal. And so that night when he walks out of the palace after that party, it was so great and grand, and all the people have heard him. The moment they see him, the paparazzi are outside, the news is outside, they're all bowing down, except for that Jew. He's standing there. And then you come to Esther chapter 6 and verse 1. This is where I've been working to. And that night, the king could not sleep. So he commanded to bring the book of the records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. That night, the king could not sleep. Everything is bad. Everything is messed up and getting worse. Everything is hopeless. Everything is filled with anxiety and worry. They're facing a slaughter. She's scared to death. And the only thing that saved their life was that night, the king could not sleep. Now watch, y'all got to see this. Let me preach. Look up here at me. That reader just happen chance opens it and starts reading about Mordecai the Jew who saved his life. And the king says, wait a minute. What was done to reward that man? Has he ever come and tried to tell me this story? No, sir. He didn't want any credit? No, sir. Has he ever asked for a reward? No, sir. My goodness, he did it with no motive. I want to reward that man. What's happened to that man? Nothing, sir. Nothing was done to reward him. Nothing. Oh, my goodness. Now he's got off the throne, and he's walking around in his robe and Versace slippers, and he's pacing the floor. How can I reward that man? How can I reward that man? How can I reward him? And he finally sits down. Now the sun's coming up, and in walks Haman. He's freshly shaved. He slept like a angel, and he feels good, and he walks in, and he thinks, I just had the greatest night of my life, and tonight I get to do it all over again. I am something special. He walks into the presence of the king. The king looks at him. He's got black bags under his eyes, and he says, I want to ask you something, Haman. He said, What would you suggest that I do? Let's say there's a man in the kingdom that I really want to honor. And Haman, with his egotistic self, is thinking, oh, my God. Now, he's about to do a humble brag. I know it could never be I, but oh, king, come on, y'all. I'm working hard up here. Y'all sitting out there just like you at a movie. Where's the popcorn? I preach to myself. This is how I preach. That's how I talk to myself when I read stuff. But he says, let's say there was somebody I wanted to bless, Haman. I mean, I really wanted to show honor and show the whole nation this guy is a big deal to me. Sir, I would suggest humbly, I think you ought to take your robe off, your robe, and put it on him. I think you ought to take your stallion, the steed that you ride on yourself, and you ought to let him ride on it with that robe. I think you ought to take some pipsqueak, some minor, lesser person, and let them guide the bridle of that horse on a rope and walk through the streets, and as trumpets are blasting, tell all the people, the man in whom the king honors is before you. And instantly the king said, that's brilliant, I love it. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to do everything you just said, Haman, but do it to Mordecai the Jew. And he said, by the way, I think you're important enough that you should be the one who's leading the horse, screaming the man who the king wants to honor. This is the man on the horse. Well, I don't know who I'm preaching to, but stuff you're worrying about, you've forgotten who your God is. You've forgotten how powerful he is. You've forgotten that when he speaks, seas open. When he speaks, mountains move. When he speaks, demons tremble. And no, the enemy's plot against your life will not be successful. God is fighting for you. Sit down. I'm almost done. So, don't you know how humiliating that was? The man whom the king honors. The man whom the king honors. That night, after a humiliating day, Haman comes to the palace for the final banquet. Queen Esther is there. They eat. The king turns and says, why did you do this? Tell me the real reason. What do you want? She said, sir, there is a conspiracy in the land to kill Mordecai, the Jew, and all of his seed. And I don't know if you knew this, king, but I, Esther, I'm a Jew. The king is enraged. Stands up because he didn't sleep all night. So he's you know how you are when you didn't sleep good. Turn to your wife and say, I know how you are when you didn't sleep good. Turn to your husband and say, you're that way all the time. It doesn't matter if you sleep good or not. Can I finish? Here's the finish. He's so angry, he doesn't want to make a quick decision. He is smart enough to know, if I get rid of this guy, it's going to cause me a lot. So he gets up and walks out. He says, who was it behind this conspiracy? And she says, this one right here, Haman. He's so mad. He's just, if he spit, it'd kill grass. He's so mad. He walks out of the room trying to pull himself together. And the queen takes off to her bedroom, and he follows her. Haman follows her because he's now all the tables are turned, and he falls on her bed. When she goes into her bedroom, she's sitting on it. He falls on her bed, and he starts crying out for mercy. And the king just happened at that time to walk in the bedroom, and he sees this guy on the bed with his queen, and he says, I was trying to figure out what to do. Now I know what to do. And the gallows that you prepared for Mordecai, guards, take him out and hang him right now on those same gallows. Now let me finish. So here's what I came to say. In a church this size, this 2,600-year-old story is not just a piece of history, but it's a reminder that you need to hear that you have a king who has intentional insomnia. He said, he didn't say I can't sleep. He said, I will not sleep or slumber because I'm going to walk the floor. And while you sleep, I am up and I'm planning and I'm plotting your comeback. I'm planning how that the enemy has constructed things that I'm going to turn for your good. I'm going to use them against the very voices that have tried to destroy you. Your king is not asleep. He's active. He has a plan. He's for you. In a crowd this size, there's some family that's represented that had a heated argument. Unkind, cruel words were spoken, maybe even last night. And it looks like the enemy's gone wild in your family. There's somebody else here who's scared of a medical situation. You dread going back to the doctor. The word, the C word, cancer, is tormenting you. You don't know what in the world. And the problem is real and it's being formed. And you feel like you're worried and you're full of anxiety and fear and worry. In a crowd this size, there's some parents that are agonizing over a teenager that's making crazy decisions. And you never thought, and you get one kid fixed and then another one acts up. How do you know? Because I raised five of them. You get one thing fixed and here's another one, and you feel like you're losing your mind. And where is God? His name's not even in this family, apparently. But he sent me to tell you that the one thing that turned the battle for Esther, the one thing that turned the battle for Mordecai, is that the king had intentional insomnia. How many of you are worrying about something? And there's only two reasons why people have insomnia. Something internal or external is bothering them. It may be something internal, it may be a disease, it may be something going on internally, or it may be something externally with people, relationships, job, family, but it's worrying you, tormenting you. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and cast your worry on me, for I can handle it." And your king is not asleep, he's awake. The king can't sleep as long as you have a problem. You don't believe he loves you. You're not a somebody. You're the bride of the king. Well, you know the Bible teaches us to call on the name of the Lord, and he'll answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not of. Isn't that wonderful to know that we have a God who not only hears our prayers, but he exceeds our prayers? And I'm going to pray for you. I got this one. You don't even have to pray. You just receive this prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray today for every person watching this program by divine appointment. I pray today in the name of Jesus that healing would flow into their body. Enough is enough. Lord, we claim miraculous healing now, supernatural healing now. But he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, which includes the healing of the mind and the emotions, was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. And Lord, I thank you today for those who are watching who need deliverance, either in their life or someone they know, from addictions and bondages, depression, discouragement, even suicide, defeat, bondage. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke and I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every person who's struggling in any of these areas. Yes, he loves you. No, he will not give up on you. Yes, he will lift you out of the muck and the mire and the pain and the hurt. And just say right where you are, "Jesus, save me. Jesus, heal me. Come into my heart. Come into my home. Come into my life. The miracle has begun in Jesus' name." And if you prayed that prayer, pick up the phone and dial the number that's on the screen. Or go online and send us an email and declare your victory today. We'd love to hear from you. It's an encouragement to our whole team. God bless you, and we'll see you next time on Kingdom Connection.
The southern border of Israel is under constant attack from their neighbors on the Gaza Strip. From a barrage of rockets to incendiary fire balloons to terrorist tunnels popping up to kidnap innocent women and children in the middle of the night. Post-traumatic stress disorder is rampant in this community, especially among children. The locals referred to their way of life as 99% heaven and 1% hell. That prescribed 1% leads to upwards of 97% of the children suffering from PTSD. But there's hope. You can bring comfort to these people by partnering with us today. We are in the process of building another bomb shelter in the Eshkol region of Israel. This is the community's number one priority to help ease their constant worries of terrorism and rocket attacks. When you partner with us today with a generous gift of $1,000 or more this month, we'll send you the Acres of Diamonds collection, including a commemorative coin made from soil from Jerusalem. We'll also plant a tree in your honor in Israel in a living, growing memorial of your love for the Jewish people. With your gift of $500 or more, we want to send you the Acres of Diamonds gift set, including Jensen Franklin's three-part Acres of Diamonds video series on DVD. With your gift of $50 or more this month, we want to bless you with the Acres of Diamonds bundle with a beautiful art print reminding you to be still. Thank you for fulfilling biblical prophecy today by providing comfort to God's people living in the war zone of Eshkol, Israel. Call now or go online today.
In Eshkol, the Israeli region closest to the Gaza Strip, has seen as many as 174 rockets fired at them within a 24-hour period. Because of friends and connection partners just like you, we've been able to break ground on the Eshkol Fortified Trauma Center and Play School. Here, the brave families who live in this combat zone will have a safe place to build community, strengthen resiliency, and receive the counseling services that they so desperately need.
Shalom from Eshkol. I'm so happy to share with you that we already completed the shell, the entire shell of the play school, and we are now dealing with the interior of the entire dreamy facility that we are building here. Soon we will have this wonderful dream facility for our entire community, for the senior citizens, for the children, for all of us.
Because of you, all of this is possible. Thank you for your generous support of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Sharice and I want to invite you to join us on the Holy Land Tour in 2021, December the 1st through the 10th. I'll be teaching from the sites and be filming some special programs that you'll get to be a part of. You'll get an amazing tour that will change your perspective and show you the Bible like you've never seen before. I'm excited about Israel, the Holy Land. Pray about if you should go. It's going to be an amazing trip.
This program has been sponsored by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.